out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, the 5th of March, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. It's the start of another week and I have a special guest here with me today. I have Alison Shablow with me, who is going to be in court on Wednesday for making funny songs about Jews, which I'm sure most of our listeners are already aware of, but we haven't had her on for quite a while, so I'm very pleased to welcome her today. Welcome on the show, Alison. How are you doing today?
Thanks very much, Sven. I'm very well, thank you. I hope the same is true of you, and it's very nice to be here, and welcome to all the listeners.
Yeah, we haven't spoken to you for quite a while, I think. Your last court case, I remember we talked a bit about that, and one of the things I was really impressed with was the fact that you had lots of supporters there, which came out in the Daily Mail and in the reports of that. And you also made sure that when they took a picture of you, you had a flower there, a rose or something that someone had given you. I thought that was a really good touch. Well, what were your thoughts about the last trial and about the media coverage of it?
Starting with the negative points, I wasn't too happy that the trial was again adjourned. It was supposed to be one day only. And of course, that was now 2 months ago. So I've had another 2 months of being on bail, not being able to share or promote my work, all the other strings attached to that. In fact, the 10th of January, we only heard the prosecution submissions and the two prosecution witnesses, Gideon Falter and Stephen Silverman from the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism. But I think it was an interesting day for us. The prosecution played my songs in court. So that was quite a surreal experience to see myself on the big screen and two songs. Perhaps the listeners are already aware, two songs I performed in September 2016 at the London Forum in the Grosvenor Hotel in London. To tumultuous applause and laughter, and
it was a good recording. Those songs. It was a good recording that as well. I mean, there was a very good audio from that London Forum appearance. So at least they would have, they would have heard good copies of the songs and you performing, looking good on the stage with lots of people cheering and obviously happy at what you were performing there. That obviously people weren't offended. I would say that was good that they played that in court.
Yeah, they played Survivors twice, in fact. We're impressed for time, but we heard the whole song twice. The judge, of course, had never seen me. One gentleman noted afterwards that it's good that I can play and perform to a professional standard. One would imagine that if my songs had been remotely offensive, then there would have been some kind of reaction from the audience, at least, something like that. But no, all we hear is laughter and indeed applause in the middle of the songs, not only at the end. So there was those two clips, plus the third clip, which followed my arrest and detention at the beginning of last October last year for an alleged breach of bail. And they failed to charge me with the song for which I was arrested under the Public Order Act, but they did charge me with another communication sending grossly offensive material over the internet for another song called I Like the Story as It Is, which I'd uploaded to YouTube. And you can see when that was played as well, the video is sandboxed on YouTube. So there's this little warning, this video has been flagged by our community as being unsuitable for certain audiences. Are you sure you wish to continue? So all this was visible on the big screen as well, that the persons complaining about my video had known that by clicking, a click is a legal legal connotation when you are on the internet on your online banking. The click is the legal measure by which you agree to the conditions and terms. Well, these people not only clicked play on my video, they clicked on the message, the warning message, are you sure you want to continue? And then, oh, they were so offended that they had me arrested and put in jail for 2 days for singing songs. So that was the court hearing. We heard from the two witnesses, of course. And then afterwards, all this press coverage. So, yes, that was quite something. Of course, the press lied through their teeth. They all claimed in unison that I'd sang along to the words of my songs from inside the dock. Well, that was a complete lie, and I would never permit myself to do such a thing. Certainly, I enjoyed watching my performances, but singing along, no, goodness me, if that had been the case, the judge would have had me up for contempt. So the press, yes, they omitted plenty of important points that were raised, and especially during the cross-examination of the two witnesses by my barrister, Adrian Davis. But they always say what they want, don't they? The press, we can't really rely on them for a fair and balanced reporting of pretty much anything.
No.
So yes, I think a good day. We'll see what happens on Wednesday. Of course, I'll be the one in the dock on Wednesday, giving my side of events and what led me to write these songs and.
That's going to be interesting.
How these legal proceedings have affected my life.
So you'll get your chance to have your say, and they'll be cross-examining you, and you'll be able to come out with. Your reasoning for why you were singing the songs. I mean, isn't it true to say that some of the people that you were singing about are confirmed frauds anyway?
Well, yes. And for example, the song that got me into trouble initially, Survivors. I sing about Irene Zisblatt, who claims she swallowed diamonds every day for months at Auschwitz to avoid these diamonds being detected by the Germans. I sing about L.A. Wiesel. I sing about Anne Frank's diary. I don't say anything that's not already been reported widely. So the witness, the main witness, Gideon Falter, he hasn't even read Mrs. Zisblatt's book. So he's defending people without really knowing much about them. It was clear that the witnesses were reading from a script from inside the witness stand. We will see what happens on Wednesday, and we just don't know. The sending and the causing to be sent, these legal arguments have still not been decided. There's been no decision either way from the judge whether or not I have broken any laws under this Communications Act, because the sending was simply a posting of the URLs of these videos. They weren't sent to any individual. As I said before, the person who clicks play on the video sends the information to themselves. It's not as if I was sending obscene materials or grossly offensive materials directly to any individual. I wasn't. On the other hand, I'd been receiving for over a year anonymous post addressed to Mrs. Holocaust denier at my home address. Police didn't want to know. Yet I'm the one who's been dragged through the court system now for almost 18 months for simply uploading my own work as a musician to the internet. The other funny thing about the press coverage is that they called me a self-proclaimed revisionist. And this they took that from the prosecution's submission that I was answering questions. And when I was arrested last October by police, I was answering their questions in the interview. And they said, are you a Holocaust denier, Mrs. Shapler? And I corrected them. I said the term is revisionism. And I explained that revisionists contest the figure of the 6 million, and they contest the use of gas chambers to murder people. that's to me. So the press came out with all, oh, she's a self-proclaimed revisionist. So that, along with blogger, what else have they called me? Holocaust denier, of course, anti-Semite. They label me anything except artist or musician. They never label me as confirmed by my own profession. I went to three years to college to get a degree in music and taught music in secondary schools for 12 years and did endless theatre and accompaniments and played in bands and had my own solo little tour, did the Edinburgh Festival several times. They cannot bring themselves to call me a musician or an artist. The only mainstream article that called me an artist was back in 2015, and that was the Times of Israel, after I posted a picture of myself on Twitter performing a Cornell salute. So that really, I think, in my opinion, just gives us the, just says everything about the British press today. The standards are appalling, appalling.
Well, it might actually stand you in good stead, because you're going to take the jury by surprise, or you're going to take the judge by surprise, because they're not going to be expecting someone, a musician of your caliber. I suspect they've been surprised already by what's gone on in the court. And I think the important thing about this for everybody else is the fact that what they're trying to do is get you for putting a link up, not for sending it to anybody else, but just for putting a link up, which affects everybody, because we all share links. So that's one very important outcome that's going to come from this, is whether or not just sharing a link means that you're sending something to someone. And I would say that it isn't. I would say that people choose to be offended. And obviously, if you click on something, you are consenting. You're saying, I want to see what's in there. You are implying that you wish to see what is going to happen when you press that button. That just seems really quite obvious to me. Is there going to be a jury there on Wednesday?
No,
or is it just a judge?
No, magistrates court. One judge, one district judge, as they're called now. Chief magistrate, just district judge. Yes, the sending issue. If the judge decides that indeed posting a URL does constitute sending or causing to be sent grossly offensive, obscene material, etc., then this will open the floodgates. I was searching around on YouTube the other day. I thought, well, you know, I'm also accused of using Jewish tunes for my songs. Okay, yeah, it's true. I use several Jewish melodies that are very famous in my song parodies, etc. Hava Nagila, etc. I had a search around YouTube to see what kind of parody I could find using sacred Christmas music, sacred Christian music, to do with Christmas, and I came upon several. The most notable was by an a cappella act. I think it's one person, but they record all the voices, and so it sounds like a four-part harmony. Very well done, very talented, lovely voice, a young American. And at one point, there's a medley of Christmas tunes, and at one point, the implication clearly is that Jesus Christ is gay. So, if I am found guilty, if these laws are passed, the sending and the causing to be sent, can then Christians cite Section 127 of the Communications Act to say that they've been grossly offended by this music, by somebody who's clearly not a Christian, who's using sacred Christian music? It's not just folk tunes like I'm using. It's sacred, holy music to do with the birth of Jesus Christ. Will they be able to claim also that they've been grossly offended and spend vast amounts of public money in the courts to try and convict these young atheists? There's a lot of questions that will arise, but we will have to see on Wednesday which way the judge decides. And it's not even sure that he will make any decision or any verdict on Wednesday. He could reserve the right to pronounce at a later date. And as the way that things have gone so far, that wouldn't surprise me. The longer they can drag it out, it seems the happier those from the system pushing this kind of oppression on us and tyranny on us will be happy.
That seems to be the case. It seems to be going on and on and on. If you win, I mean, you might end up ruining them in costs. Just how long it's gone on for?
Well, I can ask for costs from the campaign against anti-Semitism until the Crown took over the case last March. But that they don't care. They don't care about costs. The Crown clearly right. They don't. They've hired a top barrister to argue for them.
Top barrister.
Well, yes, they have a, I have a barrister. They have a barrister. Of course, I have no income to speak of. So, I'm receiving legal aid. So the public is paying for it all.
So so the Crown is putting a lot of money into doing this on behalf of the campaign against anti-Semitism. This isn't just,
I would say it was go even further than that. It's on behalf of Israel, because the campaign against anti-Semitism is a Zionist front.
Yeah, they're mainly concerned with that, aren't they?
For Israel.
When you're on the Wednesday, when you're in court, so you're going to be questioned. So last time it was Gideon Falter that was in the dock, and he would have been questioned by the, by both sides, by both counsels. So are you going to get a chance to be questioned by your legal representative as well as being questioned by the Crown?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, it will be Adrian Davis giving his defence submissions, then I will be called, then eventually my witness will be called. I'm not sure. I think that's how it will pan out.
So you'll get a good chance to, Adrian will give you a good chance to put your case, and you'll be able to answer you'll be able to say, I should imagine during then, the hypocrisy of it all, how they're the ones claiming to be victims while you've actually been a victim of all of this. Is he going to get a chance to do that?
Yes, well, they made fatal errors. Liars always make fatal errors. The first one was Stephen Silverman, a year last December, who admitted in court papers that he used an anonymous Twitter account, one of these two Twitter accounts that had been trolling me for since my Edinburgh Cornell salute in 2015. And in court on January the 10th, something that no journalist reported on, he admitted that my most prolific troll, Nemo, who figures in one of the songs subject to malicious communication charges, is another Jewish journalist who works freelance but also writes op-eds for the Jewish Chronicle, etc., a man called Stephen Applebaum, and he admitted that in court. So I wrote the song Nemo's Anti-Semitic Universe because this guy would not stop trolling me. I could block him, but he would use a different browser, a different account to troll me. Every time I had a conversation, an interesting conversation on Twitter, he'd be there. Every time I tweeted, every time I left a tweet, he would be there. I just didn't interact. I knew what was going on, and I just recorded with screenshots there. Yeah. Abuse of me. So I have this vast library of evidence. I couldn't really use it for most of the time I've been on trial because the police had my computer. But as soon as I was released from jail last October, the police suddenly gave me my computer back. So I've been able to compile three rather large documents of containing all the evidence of this this trolling from these two men, in particular this Stephen Applebaum.
So some of this.
So yes, they're going to. So this is how I was provoked into writing these songs. I didn't abuse them back. I didn't go and troll them. I did what I do, and that's write music. I react to the world, what's going on around me in the world, with music. That's what I did.
If it wasn't good music,
they didn't like it.
If it wasn't good music, people wouldn't download it. People wouldn't be listening to it. I think this gets to the heart of it as well, is that they don't like it, that you're popular. If you didn't get many downloads, they wouldn't be bothered by it. But the fact that you are very, very popular, they can't stand it because, people like to laugh. And the Jews hate having people laughing at them. That's
the funny thing is, Sven, and Adrian mentioned this in court, is that if they'd have left me alone, I just had my handful of followers, you know, the small circle, London Forum, etc. Well, nothing would have happened, but they made me famous by bringing this prosecution. The publicity that I've had now, my people write to me from all over the world telling me how much they appreciate my songs and how much they enjoyed listening and how much they laughed and what a good job I'm doing. I think that's the reason why now, after my trial on January the 10th, the day after, I had my Facebook banned for 30 days, all my videos on YouTube, my whole library spanning 10 years was sandboxed. My channel has been removed from view in the UK. There's a little message that appears. This channel is no longer available. Click here to unsubscribe.
Quite infuriating.
But it's available
that,
in Denmark. It's available in Ireland.
That's the thing. That's what's so annoying. I've seen that as well. I've had an interview with me that is banned. I know other people from Britain that have had their content. Oh, this is banned in Britain. Banned in your own country, but the rest of the world can see it.
And on no grounds, because we don't have any Holocaust denial laws in the UK. And that's clear. The Crown knows in my case that it's not a question of arguing whether or not the so-called Holocaust actually happened. They don't really have any proof that I've broken any laws.
I've heard them be quite proud of the fact that we don't have Holocaust denial laws here. They bring that up when they're trying to defend free speech. They say, oh, well, we do have free speech here. We don't have Holocaust denial laws here because we want to be free to debate it and show these vile Holocaust deniers that they're wrong. And I've heard politicians say that. I heard, momentarily forget the name of her, this elderly female politician that went on Strictly Come Dancing, and she'd been on Big Brother, Anne Widdecombe.
She was saying
that the other day about how free speech has been eroded in this country and we should never have Holocaust denial laws. And she was really speaking up about it. I've heard others mention it as well, and the reasoning for why we don't have Holocaust denial laws. And that is the one good thing, I think, that we have in this country, is we don't actually have them, but they'll try to get you in other ways. So what are the actual proscriptions that you've got on you? Are you allowed to, are other people allowed to post your links? Are you allowed to upload stuff, but you're just not allowed to share it? Or are you not even allowed to upload any new material?
Well, I've uploaded quite a few songs, but there's nothing chargeable or offensive some people might find some things offensive. I'm not allowed to post anything racist or anti-Semitic and grossly offensive. It has to be a combination. It has to be racist and grossly offensive, or anti-Semitic and grossly offensive. So that's also very subjective. These bail conditions aren't particularly workable. Of course, you know, my accusers are going to be grossly offended just by my name alone. But I've uploaded a fair number of songs and other videos with political commentary. It seems that since that was a turning point in October when I spent this 48 hours in detention, that since then they've had to pull back and leave me alone, especially as well since the Freedom of Information Act asked for by a member of the public brought out documents that the campaign against anti-Semitism had not only been lobbying police to have me arrested, they'd also been lobbying the Derbyshire Police and Crime Commissioner to have me arrested. They were unhappy that, you know, I hadn't had my legs clamped in irons as soon as Survivors was published on the internet. They wanted me arrested and jailed. They'd also been lobbying this campaign, Police and Crime Commissioner, who's a Labour politician. All those documents, and my name's been redacted, but there's absolutely no doubt that they're talking about me, and there are endless letters and admissions from the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism that they've written to the police commissioner, and they've written 9 times within the space of just a few weeks to try and their essential being of the campaign against anti-Semitism. They want to bring about a prosecution and set a legal precedent which will effectively bring a Holocaust denial law in by the back door. Because if my songs are considered grossly offensive, if I'm found guilty, then they will be able to go after anybody who questions the swimming pool at Auschwitz or the soap and lampshades, etc. But will they succeed? We don't know.
Well, I hope not.
They probably will one day. In France, there was a lot of opposition to the Gayssot law in 1990, and that eventually was passed after a Jewish cemetery was desecrated in a town called Carpentras. And of course, the outcry. There's no proof that they blamed it on local skinheads, but there was never any forensic proof, rather like with the gas chambers. But that was the excuse they used to bring in this law in France. So they will keep trying. Even if I'm acquitted on Wednesday, they will keep trying. If it's not with me, it will be somebody else, because there is so much at stake for them that the myth of the Shoah and the gas chambers, the magical, mystical gas chambers, is pretty much the foundation myth of our world today. That's the religion. If you question that, you're a heretic and you must be locked away. You must be punished. You must be shunned from polite society. You must be, you must have your professional and social life ruined. You must have your means of making a living removed. So, that's their.
They will not stop.
They need to be disregistered, deregistered from the Charity Commission, because clearly they're not providing any support whatsoever for anybody.
No, they're just attacking people. Am I right in thinking that this Freedom of Information Act that showed all this, did it show that they were taking police officers out for the day and treating them to open days at the synagogue and promoting the Shomrim as well? Or is that another...
Yes, that's the one. It was the Police and Crime Commissioner. That's the elected politicians who oversee the workings of each police force. So yes, they invited him down to London and wined and dined him and took him to all these
bribed him, bribed him basically. Yeah, you're trying to bribe him. I mean, it says in the
he fell right into the trap. unquestioningly. Yes,
it says in the Talmud to do that, to offer bribes, to bribe judges and bribe the Gentile judges, and that's the way to operate. And that's clearly what they've done there, I think.
Yes, and so since all this, I've been left alone pretty much. I haven't done anything on the strict advice of my lawyers. I've not uploaded anything too controversial. I have been on several podcasts and spoken my mind, but and I think that's one of their problems as well. You know, if I was a swastika tattooed skinhead, let's say a somewhat intellectually challenged nationalist, then they might have an easier time, but I'm not. I'm obviously clearly educated and reasonably well-spoken and polite. So, yes, I think that they have a problem in that respect as well. And that at the same time is why they want me to silence me, to silence people like myself, like Vincent Renoir, like Jez Turner, because we're articulate and we are able to influence others.
Yeah,
yourself included, Sven.
That's what it is. They really don't want people like us speaking to the public. Let's think about Wednesday then. So that, what time is it starting? 9:30 in the morning?
9:30 in the morning. That's at Westminster Magistrates, Central London Magistrates Court on Marylebone Road, nearest tube station, Edgware Road or Marylebone Station, just a couple of minutes away.
Are people going to be meeting up at a certain time at the tube station so that they can all walk there to the court together or anything like that?
And then there'll probably be a meeting at point at Marylebone, in front of the station there in the forecourt.
Yes. That's always a good idea.
From 9:00, let's say from 9:00, and make sure that people are there early enough, and then we can walk together towards the court, which is always so nice. You know that the press, they want to see us isolated and alone, but when we arrive surrounded by supporters, it always looks so much nicer. And yes, it was a wonderful idea from a dear comrade to give me flowers and a little brooch where I could put my boutonniere rose my lucky rose and walk to court surrounded by good people. And yes, that's what they like. I see that Jada Franson's verdict will be delivered the same day. I told her on Gam, I said, you need to get people around you because the press had photographed her alone. And she looked quite a forlorn figure going into court in Belfast. Perhaps it's harder to find supporters in Belfast than it is in London, though it shouldn't be. But I'm really grateful to everybody who turned up the last time. And of course, all supporters welcome on Wednesday.
Well,
it'll be greatly appreciated.
Hopefully you'll get plenty of that. I'm sure you will get plenty there. And good luck on Wednesday, Alison. Thanks for coming on today. And hopefully we'll talk to you again after the trial and find out what went on. I'll be back tomorrow with Nat Dainlaw. Thank you very much for listening. God bless and hail victory.